That's the message. Josie beat me to it. What could be more powerful than knowing that the life of a person has been changed through the power of the gospel? Isn't that the reason why we're all here? Because we've got to change lives through the power of the gospel. I am not prepared to be emotionally involved today. But the Lord places us into places in our lives we're not really that comfortable. As a matter of fact, I'm not comfortable wearing this microphone right now. And probably some of you here are not, you know, comfortable when I ask or request you to come a little bit closer to join me with my being uncomfortable here in the front. Because if in the most recent church servants and leaders meeting, we've been praying, we've been planning that God would continue to move people here in Houston, be it of Filipino descent or whatever, to come here to the church and just be blessed by the transforming power of God's word. I mean, we need to make some space for them, don't we? If you want us to come to the Lord and pray, then, you know, as a congregation, you have to believe. Don't put us in a situation where you want us to do something and then you're doing the other thing. You want the Lord to bless this church? Then be part of the church itself. Be involved in the activities that we have here in the church. Because we believe that's where God is positioning us right now. God is about to pour His blessing for us. My name is Eric Belarga. I'm not a pastor. But I am called here in the First Philippine Baptist Church to do a PRN job. If you are in the medical field, you would know that PRN means as needed, as necessary. But PRN for me is a preaching registered nurse. I'm a nurse in one of the level one trauma centers in Houston, the busiest probably in the whole southern part of the United States. We see a lot of things. But one thing God has reminded me is we have to bloom wherever He planted us. I'm not called to be a pastor, and I don't intend to be one. Sorry, Pastor D. But if God called me to preach today as a PRN job, then I'm willing to step in, even if it's very uncomfortable for me. So bear with me. Bear with me as we study God's Word today. If you have your Bibles with you, we are continuing on the series about the book of Proverbs. Okay. I don't know if you're all familiar with the book of Proverbs, but the book of Proverbs is written by King Solomon himself, for the most part. We will be meditating today a passage which is in Proverbs 9 of the book of Proverbs. I have titled my message today as The Tale of Two Ladies. Now, for clarification purposes, I don't have two ladies in my life. Okay? The two ladies that we're about to discuss today are the two ladies King Solomon has personified in this text, which is Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly. Now, if you have your Bibles with you, open up to the book of Proverbs, chapter 9. I'll be reading from the New International Version. Shall we all rise in honor of God's Word? Proverbs 9, Wisdom's Call. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out its seven pillars. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her maids, and she calls from the highest point of the city. Let all who are simple come in here, she says to those who lack judgment. Come, eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and you will leave. Walk in the way of understanding. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insult. Whoever rebukes a wicked man incurs abuse. Do not rebuke a mocker or he will hate you. Rebuke a wise man and he will love you. Instruct a wise man and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man and he will add to his learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through me your days will be many and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. Folly scoff. The woman folly is loud. She is undisciplined and without knowledge. She sits at the door of her house, on a seat at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Let all who are simple come in here, she says to those who lack judgment. Stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. But little do they know that the dead are there. Her guests are in the depths of the grave. Let's come to the Lord. Father, we hunger for your word. Grant us wisdom to discern your will. We ask you, Jesus, to make your living word a bread for our souls. Holy Spirit, we invoke your presence. Convict our hearts. May all be seated. The book of Proverbs is an assortment of wise saying relating spiritual truths and common sense. These proverbs give instructions concerning every conceivable area of human life, often contrasting the ungodly view of the fool versus the godly perspective of the wise. We begin our study today by introducing to you Lady Wisdom. In verse 1, Wisdom, or Lady Wisdom, has built her house, and she has hewn out its seven pillars. Notice that Lady Wisdom is the one actively involved in construction of the house. It would be suffice to say that when someone builds a structure with seven pillars, the edifice one is trying to put up is more than likely a bigger and a better house, more than the regular houses that we all see. That the house Lady Wisdom has built is not just a plain house, but more of a building, a mansion of with plenty of rooms. So needless to say, Lady Wisdom is well off if she can afford to build such a big structure like this. Seven pillars in the Bible usually depicts an imagery of the temple, hence a place of worship. So we can say that Lady Wisdom is godly. In verse 2, she personally and meticulously prepares her food. To make it more precise, she arranged a slaughter. Butchering and cooking of meat in the ancient times is a luxury. It's a feast or a banquet. In the Filipino context, you know, we have this thing that we call patay baboy. Or, you know, like if somebody is graduating from college, you know, we joke around and say, is your dad going to knock down a cow for celebration tomorrow? Isn't that right? We ask our folks and say, magtutumba ba kayo ng baka? Are you going to knock down the cow? That means, you know, kill the cow, kill the fattened pig, and have it for celebration. But we usually do that. During my time, we don't have anything, but we have a cow that was being leased to us, you know, enables to, for us to, you know, kind of like raise another one if the cow becomes pregnant. So I would jokingly said, yes, we will knock down a cow, and tomorrow we will let it loose and let it be pregnant so we can have another cow. But in the Bible, whenever they said a banquet or a feast, you know, some cows, some livestock have to be slaughtered. So it's a big feast. It's a big banquet. Okay. In verse 2, she personally prepares the food. And then she mixes her own wine and sets her table. It's interesting to note that in the Old Testament, the wine is being mixed with water. So when somebody mixes the wine, there's a personal touch to it. Okay? And sets her table. Lady Wisdom is disciplined, well-prepared. She plans her day. Very personal and very detailed. In verse 3, she aggressively and publicly issues invitations. Okay, in our context today, she's probably sending out all those tweets, Facebook messages. It's an open invitation for everybody. Okay, all walks of life are being invited for her dinner. She invites the naive and those who lack understanding to come eat with her and drink from the wine she has mixed herself. Now let me ask you this question. If someone asks you for a dinner, especially for our ladies and gentlemen here, okay? If somebody asks you for a dinner, does it only mean that you're just going to eat and run? It's not like that, right? That would not be beneficial, I guess. If somebody invites you for a dinner, you will have to sit down, eat with the host, and, you know, talk about something. Say something, not just go there and eat and run, okay? That would be somewhat rude to do that. So when somebody asks you for a dinner, or if somebody prepared like a feast before you, it goes without saying that that person wants a personal time with you. Or she wants to have an intimate time with you. Lady Wisdom invites everyone to have a deeper and more intimate relationship with her. It would be interesting to note that Lady Wisdom, personified in this passage of the scripture, points forward to the person of Christ in the New Testament. This book, the Book of Proverbs, was written 1,000 to 700 B.C. Solomon doesn't even know who Jesus Christ is, the promised Messiah. And yet the seven pillars are mansions, are the same mansions that Christ is promising his believers. Remember, in John 14:2, Jesus Christ himself said, "My Father's house has many mansions." It's a mansion filled with many rooms, plenty of rooms. If that were not so, would I have not told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And how about the dinner or the great banquet? Jesus told the parable about this one in Luke 14, verses 15 to 17. Who sends out invitation to everyone? Come to me, all of you who are heavily laden, and I will give you rest. Who invites us to let him come into our lives? Who is that person who stands at the door and knocks? If anyone opens the door, I will come to his house and eat with him, and he will eat with me. Earlier we talked about how Lady Wisdom prepared the meal by slaughter. Isn't that the same manner our Jesus Christ died? He was slaughtered and butchered in preparation for the great banquet. Now I came to a realization that Lady Wisdom's cuisine is far different and extravagant from any other. Very costly. Very costly. God's banquets are always so. Now on the other hand, let's take a closer look this time with Lady Folly. In verse 13, she was being described as loud or boisterous. It goes without saying that Lady Folly is annoying to the ears, maybe. That she sounds like a broken city. A poem reminds us, as readers, avoid loud and aggressive persons because they are vexations to the spirit. Lady Folly is undisciplined, unlike Lady Wisdom, and she's without knowledge. Lady Folly is lazy. When it comes to preparation of food, she is way out of Lady Wisdom's league. Notice verse 14. She does not even bother to get up. She just sits at the door of her house. Verse 14. Sit by high places of the city is a kind of public throne, as she presents herself as an empress who rules a city, and the gullible bow to her authority. Lady Folly is an imposter. Lady Folly is not different from the adulteress or the prostitute being described in Proverbs 7. She sells herself in public. She calls to passersby who are minding their business. She hopes to waylay the gullible among the crowd. Now this reminds me of a place back home in Manila. I don't know if you're all familiar with the Quiapo Church, you know. People are just passing by, minding their own business, but those people who stop by are trapped with a businessman peddling amulets, lucky charms, or stuff that we put in our houses in the Philippines, like feng shui? Or how about that cat that goes like this? Inviting luck to come in to the house. So it's an open invitation too for people of all walks of life. And just like Lady Wisdom, her invitation is open to everyone, to the naive and those who lack understanding. Her meal, ladies and gentlemen, remember earlier we talked about Lady Wisdom. She would slaughter a livestock for the banquet. But for Lady Folly, bread and water. What a big contrast, what a big difference. But mind you, it may just be bread and water, but it is sweet. Her recipe of stolen water and bread eaten in secret proved to be enticing to people. A bait that is not easy to resist. Stolen water likely refers to an adulterous sexual liaison, while bread eaten in secret may have an adulterous overtones or illicit schemes for profiting at others' expense. Pay close attention to the words secret, stolen, illicit, forbidden. Exact words that are being used today to catch the attention of men. Words that have been abused and have been given a different meaning as they are commonly used as titles in porn films or search words for pornographic websites. These words are tones of death. I remember back home in the Philippines when we say we're going to stop over in a hotel or in a motel, it has a different connotation. Because back home, when you stop over in a motel, that means you're doing something. As you can see, one of the famous small motels in the Philippines by the name of Victoria Court. I don't know if you've been there, but I've been there one time. But I'll tell you the story before you judge me here. We were watching a concert with my wife, my brother, and my sister-in-law. And it was 2 or 3 in the morning, so, you know, we're tired. Just get drive from, the traffic from Manila to Cavite is, my goodness, you just can't imagine. So we checked in, just a little bit curious. We're already married, by the way, at that time. And so, interestingly, the Victoria Court has a logo on the front, on the main entrance, that looks like this. Okay. And when you come inside, you know, people would not even notice you because as you come in, the garage door is open. You go straight there. Then the bass boys would just pull the garage door and you are led into your private room. Okay? It was really very discreet, I would put it that way. So if you're doing something, no one will ever know. You know? And then the same thing, as you're about to check out, you just have to call them. You know, most of the time, people back home, when they're doing something, they would check out in about 2-3 hours. So the bass boy would call us and say, are you about to check out? We're sleeping. We're here to sleep. So, you know, every 2 hours, every hour, they would let you know if you're about to check out, if you didn't tell them as to what time you're checking out. And then when you check out, you know, they'll wait for you to get inside the car. They would open the garage door. And they would lead you to the exit of the building. Now, mind you, as you come in, the logo is like, but when you come out, it looks like. So that's Lady Folly's strategy, is to satisfy illicit gratification of all sorts, alluring precisely because they are forbidden. Forbidden are sought after. Remember Adam and Eve? They discovered death as the consequence of illicit gratification. So too, simpleton who succumbs to Lady Folly. We are prone to what is forbidden. This spirit of contradiction we have inherited from our first parents, who thought the forbidden tree of all others a tree to be desired. It writes in verse 18, but those who pause to listen to Lady Folly do not know death is the next stop. That her guests are walking cadavers. This is a translation with a voice Bible. But those who pause to listen to Lady Folly do not know death is the next stop, that her guests are walking cadavers. To tell you the truth, I have been working with a medical examiner's office here in Houston. When I first started here, I was trying to, of course, make both ends meet. So on top of working in Bentab, I work on call for medical examiner's office. It's a forensic center in this medical center. What we do is they would page us, they would call us, and my job is to harvest or procure human eyes or human corneas so they can be used for transplant. Now, if the Voice Bible is describing this thing as walking cadavers, that would not be a pleasant thing to behold. I'd be the first to run out of that medical examiner's office if I see a person that I just took the eyes out looking after their eyeballs and saying, give it back to me. That would not be a pleasant thing to behold. We laugh at it, but there are people in this world who are like walking dead, walking cadavers in the sight of God. Remorseless seeing is a remediless ruin. Lady Folly's guests are in the depths of the grave. So the message of Proverbs 9 is simple. After contrasting Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly, before us poses a choice. Are we on the side of Lady Wisdom? Or are we on the side of Lady Folly? Lady Wisdom represents the Lord and His blessings. She represents life. While on the other hand, Lady Folly represents the evil one and the scourge of death. At first glance, it seems to be an easy choice. Who would pick evil knowing that this will lead you to destruction? Every day of our lives, we are given a choice whether to pick Lady Wisdom or Lady Folly. Say for instance, as soon as you wake up in the morning, you are already confronted with a choice. Should I start my day reading the Bible and praying or doing my devotion? Or should I check my emails or see my Facebook account to see what is going on at the very moment? On a given Sunday, are we excited to come to church for worship? Or are we more than likely to pick up an extra shift on Saturday night or during Sunday to earn some extra money? Or maybe we are more pumped up to watch a football game and tailgate for our favorite team. Texans are playing against the Titans as of this time. I don't know what time. When it comes to involvement in God's ministry, not just here in First Philippine Baptist Church, do we find it easy to trade our hour of nap, our leisure activities, our favorite TV shows, our hobbies, the sports that we love, so we can put in more time to volunteer in church? You see, when you commit to the ministries in the church, it requires time and other resources. Let's say you commit to the Lord and say, oh yes, God, you know, after hearing Joss's testimony, I am pumped up to serve you and just come to church. I would like to meet you every Wednesday in prayer and worship. But when you come to Wednesday prayer and worship time, does it not require time? If you work Monday, Tuesday, you get off Wednesday, then you work again Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I mean, that's the only day that you can be off, right? It requires time. It requires resources. Because, you know, you have to drive wherever you are, or you will have to ask somebody to pick you up and drive you all the way to the church. It requires effort to come to church and be with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. And there are other examples that we can talk about. The battle between Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly continues within our hearts. Now, the examples I gave you are based on personal experiences I have. Some are struggles that I continue to face every day. Let me reiterate that that Bible reading, prayer time, worship, and all those good stuff, involvement in the church ministries, they should not be a burden to you. Never be a burden to you. These examples are not intended to make you feel guilty to the point that at the end of this message, you are obligated to sign up and be involved. These things, devotions, prayer, worship, and the things of God, these things we do out of love for our God. These are done out of fear of the Lord and not because of compulsion. When we experience the love, mercy, and grace of God, when we truly understand the fear of the Lord, these things become automatic. They overflow from the innermost recesses of our beings. Then they are not a burden to us any longer. Then it becomes easier to pick Lady Wisdom. The lessons we learn from Lady Wisdom is applicable in all aspects of human life. We need wisdom when we are faced with decisions in life, like career path one has to take, person that you want to marry, relationship to pursue or to break up, house that you want to live in, portfolio to invest with, business to establish, the type of treatment that you want to receive, pet we want to raise, or even the dye we want to color our hair with. From simple to complex things, from trivial to major ones, we need the wisdom coming from the Lord our God. The fear of the Lord. And how do we acquire this wisdom coming from the Lord? How do we get a chance to personally have an audience with Lady Wisdom? This is no secret at all. The key to having God's wisdom is found in verse 10 that says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." I became familiar with fear when I was a kid. During my time in the barrio, the only source of entertainment is the radio. We live with my grandparents at that time, and they are a big fan of radio drama, such as
Gabi ng Lagi,
or The Night of Terror. Okay? Now, if you're a 7-year-old or an 8-year-old, those of you who are working with children, you know, these are the age where their imagination are just there, so alive, it's so real to them. As a matter of fact, you'll see your preschoolers or even those kids who are in first grade, like having some imaginary friends because their imagination is so real. I was 7 when I first encountered the meaning of fear. Listening to that radio program, Night of Terror, gave me some goosebumps. And I would not even go down to pee. I would just hold it to myself and see until I see the sunrise. And then I would go down and, you know, just let it out for like 30 minutes, I guess. Because I am so scared that the Night of Terror would be there, those evil ones would come and take me. That's how fear was introduced to me. So I know fear as something like that. But you know, the fear of the Lord, this is not the same fear that we are referring to when we talk about the fear of the Lord. The Hebrew phrase is Jireh Adonai, which means absolute dread. That you are standing in awe. That you're holding back in awe. It's the same fear people experience when King Solomon made the decision between those two mothers claiming that they are the mother of the baby. And then King Solomon made the decision by saying, well, let's split it into half. And so they found out who the real mom is, right? That's the same kind of fear. It's a reverential fear. Jireh Adonai does not denote a clinging terror of God, but a reverential awe at the glory of His presence as He daily condescends to be involved in our lives. Jireh is really a form of devotion, a consciousness of the sacredness and mystery of receiving life itself from the living God and essentially draws upon gratitude to God for his great gift. The great preacher Oswald Chambers once said, "When you fear God, you fear nothing else. When you fear God, you fear nothing else." Let me encourage you, my brothers and sisters in the Lord. Choose Lady Wisdom. It is very obvious that she is the better choice. She has a standing invitation for all of us here. Proactively filling our minds with Lady Wisdom is the antidote for Lady Folly. The fear of the Lord helps us discern what is good and what is evil. The choice between two ladies is a constant struggle between our nature. It's our sin. It's the pleasures of this world. It's the temporary things. This is natural as humans. So we need God's word to win this battle, because God's word, on the other hand, is supernatural. Finally, fear the Lord. Jaira Adonai. Ascribe to him the respect, the reverence, the devotion he truly deserves. May all of us be conscious of his presence in our life. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Father, bless your word today. Help us to apply your words. May it grow in our hearts. You be the glory, honor, and praise. Jesus' name.